Action Park Media.
You're on the aisle seat, the go-to place for New York Islanders hockey talk.
Welcome aboard the Aisle Seat Podcast, powered by Action Park Media. Mike Carver here with you as the New York Islanders heading back to the Final Four of the Stanley Cup playoffs, a 6-2 win over the Bruins on Wednesday night at the Nassau Coliseum. They will now face a rematch with the Tampa Bay Lightning starting on Sunday afternoon down in sunny Tampa, Florida. As always, you can listen to the show, iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you want to listen to podcasts. You can find the Aisle Seat Podcast by now. Get your Aisle Seat Podcast shirts, gear, white whale hats, yesmenoutfitters.com. Devin has tons of great stuff. He's backed up. I mean, he's come up with so many new shirts throughout this run that, like, he's got New York Saints shirts. He's got our house shirts. It just keeps going on and on. So yesmenoutfitters.com to make it all happen. So the Islanders are moving on. They will have a rematch with the Lightning. And as we always do, and you talk about something that has become just a staple now, we always talk to B-Comp before a new series. And the Islanders win so many damn playoff series now that we talk to B-Comp all the time. And we got no problem with that because that means the Islanders are doing well. B-Comp, Brian Compton, NHL.com, of course, co-founder of the Aisle Seat Podcast. Always good to be with you. My man, how are you doing?
Hey, buddy. I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm kind of like, as you can kind of hear, like, I'm kind of losing it, the voice a little bit. Like,
a little bit, yeah.
A little bit. Like, I don't have that normal oomph like I feel like I usually have right now. I think I need...
We got to find that oomph. Let's go.
I got to find it, you know, by Sunday afternoon at least. And listen, it's a combination of a lot of things. I've got to get through a couple Pharrell shows today and then rest up on Saturday and then be ready for Sunday, game one between the Islanders and the Lightning. But B-Comp, this really has become common practice now. The New York Islanders winning playoff series, we've done that in the past. We know already. I mean, this is just, it is what it is. The Islanders are one of the best teams in the NHL, one of the best run organizations. Before we get to the Lightning, let's put the bow on this Bruins series. And B-Comp, yeah, once again, the excuses have kind of filtered in. I know Friday morning we got Rask played with the torn labrum in his hip. Let me just tell you something. Remember, but here's the specific thing, B-Comp, about what Rask said. I played all year with this problem. This was not I played the last two games of the series with this problem. I played the entire season with this problem. So all those games that he won in the regular season, all those games he won against the Capitals, he had no problem with the torn labrum in his hip for any of those. So guess what, B-Comp? That means you had no problems when the Islanders were beating you 4-2 in the second round. And the Bruins lost that series for a lot of reasons, B-Comp. He was one of them, there's no doubt. But they lost it for a lot more reasons than just Tuukka Rask and his bum hip. All right, Cassidy did an awful job. They got nothing from three of their four lines. Two of their three defensive pairs were garbage. It's actually, B-Comp, everything that we said were their weaknesses going into the season. Bruins lost for a lot of reasons.
So when you say you want to put a bow on this, you mean the Bo Nelson Bailey line just running amok on the Boston Bruins, right? That's where we're going.
Sure, we could do that.
The Islanders' top line of Bo Nelson and Bailey. How good were those guys? Brock Nelson is on another level, Michael. He's everywhere. He is the best 200-foot player on this hockey team right now. I don't think anybody can dispute that. And maybe, just maybe, now that the Islanders have reached the third round of the playoffs for their second year in a row, they'll start to get some more respect across the continent because they're one of the upper echelon teams in the NHL. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
There are players, B-Comp, on this team that if they played on other franchises, they would have a lot more juice nationally.
No doubt.
And Brock Nelson's
no
doubt. Brock Nelson is one of them.
Yeah.
I think that Adam Pellick and Ryan Pulock are also two of those guys that if they were playing in a Boston or playing, you know, a couple miles away across the river at the Garden or playing, you know, in Chicago, I think that they would have a lot more juice, and they have done an unbelievable job. How about that Brock stat that I tweeted? Somebody sent that to me. I think Vin from Brooklyn sent that to me about how he's got the most goals in elimination games since 2017. Like, are you kidding me? He's got 9 goals in elimination games since 2017. Brock, the Eliminator B-Comp.
Yeah, the second period, the second period in game 6 was the best period of his career, I think. Yeah. I mean, he just was all over the place. And, like, you know, just the depth that they've shown. I mean, Matthew Barzal played 10 minutes or 10 and a half minutes in game 6, and they still scored 6 goals. I know 2 were empty nets, but it just shows you how much depth that these guys have. Pageau is having another typical playoff. I mean, he's unbelievable, right? So, and Kyle Palmieri, everybody ripped his trade. Wow. And rightfully so.
Be fair.
He wasn't good.
Be fair.
I am.
Yeah.
But he's got 7 goals in 12 games.
I think that everybody knew. We said it here, and a lot of other people said it too. I think everybody knew what the deal was. It did, you know, he did nothing in the regular season, those 15 games.
Right.
It was what it was.
Wasn't about it.
But there
right.
was still time right. to make this trade a home run, and it's more than a home run at this point. He leads the team in goals through 2 rounds of the playoffs. And here's, and let me ask you about this, B-Com, because I think that Lou obviously is a master at this stuff. And I feel like the Palmieri-Zajac thing, Lou, when he made that deal, was also looking to a potential matchup with the Bruins. Because these two guys had a history of playing very well against that franchise. And they were the ones on the ice all the time. As the series went on and Barry got more into the matchups of who he wanted against who was out there against the great perfection line for the last few games. Especially when Barry had the changes at home. It was Palmieri, excuse me, Palmieri, Zajac, and Pageau. Those were the guys on the ice, B-Comp. So Lou, I think, also had in mind, yes, these guys, you know, they've got some grit, they've got some history, but I think they could do really well against Boston if that's a matchup that we come across.
That wouldn't surprise me at all, Mike. And Kyle's had a ton of success against those guys over the course of his career. And, you know, kudos to Zajac, who wasn't even in the lineup at the beginning of this. He, you know, Wahlstrom had to get hurt for all of this to happen, but he has not missed a beat since he's been in there, especially on the defensive end. I know we got the game's opening goal the other night, but he's been so good defensively, and it's a big reason why the Islanders are where they are right now.
And this was, you know, we'll tie this in. Since you brought it up, we'll just do it now. If Wahlstrom is healthy, I think that Zajac still plays.
Agreed.
I think that's kind of – it's unfortunate. Like, I don't think that Wahlstrom was playing bad before the injury. I thought that he was playing very well with Kyle and with Pageau. But, you know, Barry's a – I don't change things unless things go wrong. Now, if the Islanders got down 2-0 in the series and they were dying, starving for goals and things like that, and he's healthy, I think that that could go. But I think that – Barry likes to keep the ship moving in whatever direction that it's going really well. And I think that even if Ollie was healthy, that it's going to still be Travis Zajac. And I know people still bring up, well, can he go in for Komarov? Guys, just have to look. I know that. B-Com, I'm with you. Like, we just have to let it go at this point. This guy's playing every night and he's playing with Matt and Maverly. Like, it is what it is. Like, he's not disrupting that at this point. He's going to continue to play with them, B-Comp. Please explain that.
There have been a lot of nights, not all of them, but a lot of nights in these playoffs where Leo's been the best player on that line over 60 minutes. I don't think there's any dispute. The timing space that he creates, the physical play that he brings, I think he's been better than Everly a lot of nights. I know Barzi's picked it up here over the last little bit, but that train has to stop. I can't take Mike. I'm at the point now where I don't even allow notifications when I tweet out the lines and warmups because I just don't want to read about it anymore. It's not happening.
Like, it's not. A couple of things, and then we'll move on. What was the kind of turning point in this series for you? You know, there was a couple, even though they lost that third game and they got down 2-1, I felt that when the Barzi line, when Barzal started to really come alive in this series, it was in that game, even though they lost. And I know a lot of people want to also correlate it with when Carlo went out, because Carlo was the guy who was kind of on the ice against Barzal. It is what it is. Guys get hurt. And Carlo actually did say this morning, I had no problem with that Cal hit. It was a clean hit. It is what it is. You know, I have a concussion history and I got hurt. But it seemed like that Barzi move, you know, Barzy getting going was such an enormous move in this series. And the other thing for me, and I thought the timeout that Barry called in Boston in Game 5, B-Comp, was, you know, because we know the push that was going on in that game. Even though it was a 3-goal lead, it gets to 5-4. After that timeout, that was it. Like, even, you know, that it bled over, it felt like, into Game 6 even. Like, it just, that timeout was enormous with 5 minutes to go in Game 5.
Yeah, there were so many moments. Like, going back to Game, was it Game 4 when Pastrnak had the open net
and
hit the post?
Yes,
Marchand not scoring on the open net.
Oh, that was enormous,
would have made
too.
It 2-0.
Oh, how does he miss that, B-Comp? He missed it twice.
He just couldn't believe it. So there's just so many.
Out of that first period 1-1. That's even huge. That was a turning point.
Absolutely.
The Game 5 where they should have been down 3-0 at the end of the first period, and instead it ends up 1-1. That, you know what? Forget all the other stuff. We just named it B-Comp. That was the turning point of the series. When the Islanders got out of Game 5, period 1, tied at 1, that's when it was changed.
Yeah, and I think when I saw you after Game 4, I said, Pastrnak never misses. Yeah. They're going to win the series,
yeah,
Mike.
You like, did say that to me.
What are the odds? You know what I mean? So the Lady Luck was just on their side over the course of the series, and they worked their rear ends off, and that's why they are where they are.
Yeah, and I thought that their coach did a bad job. I thought that Barry really ran circles around him. I mean, he really did. And not only did he run circles around him on the ice, B-Comp, he ran circles around him in the media game as well. Because you know this, you're on the Zooms, you're asking the questions. Barry would have never brought up the Bergeron faceoff thing if Cassie didn't cry first after Game 4 on Saturday night. If he didn't make the comment about the officials, you know Barry's not going to give anybody bulletin board material. He only mentioned the Bergeron thing because of what Cassidy said after Game 4. I'm not talking about the Saint comment. I'm talking about after Game 4 when he first started the garbage in the media about the refereeing. That's why Barry then slept on it overnight. And then on Sunday's media availability, he just casually dropped the Bergeron thing in. That was calculated by Barry. I thought it was brilliant.
100%. And if you guys want to go back and watch Bruce's media availability after Game 5, he just looked completely defeated. Ah. Like, he knew what was coming. You know, I know people don't want to hear it. I still think he's a good coach. He just made a lot of mistakes over the course of this series.
He did an awful job.
I'm not saying he's going to lose his job.
He should.
Well, if he does, listen, he would be unbelievable on TV.
He's definitely got that's for sure.
Mike, he would be unbelievable on TV. He really, really would.
The New York Saints. I mean, you're never living that one down, Bruce.
You have to understand the atmosphere you're going into here, buddy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that was just a bad chess move for sure.
He made a lot of bad chess moves, and if Rask was as hurt as he was, then you should have made a move earlier. You can't go and talk about it now.
You can't go there. Especially because I told you this before the last round. They love Swayman, and he might be the goalie of the future. So to not pull the plug if Tuukka's as bad as you're saying he is,
right.
I
hate that stuff. Because if you play, you're not hurt. I mean, it is what it is. You
exactly.
played, and it's done. And that goes for their media as well. Now, B-Comp had a Thoughts from the Beach the other day on Instagram where he, you know, kind of, and I think that it's kind of weird. It gets highlighted a little bit here, B-Comp, because the Islanders did face the two franchises here in these two rounds that probably have the most prominent non-Canadian, you know, outside of the Canadian teams, the most prominent media that covers their team that is very homerish. And I'm not saying all of the media that covers both of those teams, but there are members of media that cover both of those teams that are more over-the-top homerish than pretty much any other American franchise. I'm not going to get involved with Toronto, Montreal, etc. But Boston and Pittsburgh, B-Comp, they are probably at the top of the list. So that's why it's been a little harder for the Islander fan to stomach here over the last couple of weeks.
I get it. And, you know, there's just ways to do it. And to just some of the stuff that I've seen over the first two rounds, and then to just troll and say really unnecessary stuff about this place, which has happened earlier in these playoffs.
Yeah.
I just don't get it, Mike. I just don't get it.
And
not for me.
And there are still people who, you know, don't give them the respect that they deserve at this point. We're talking, so many playoff series, back-to-back trips to the conference finals. I saw this B-Comp this morning. This is the first time, this is how hard this is to do, guys. This is the first time you're getting a rematch in a conference final since the Kings and the Blackhawks were playing each other, you know, back and forth in the Western Conference every year. So this is hard to do. It is extremely hard to lose and get all the way back to this point. And now the Islanders are doing it. So let's put the Bruins in the rearview mirror. In the garbage they go. They're gone. It is time now, B-Comp. Islanders and Tampa Bay Lightning. And this is going to be very intriguing. And so much for the Vegas-Montreal as well. And that's kind of a little different because they wouldn't have played each other that much anyway in a normal NHL regular season. But these two teams have not seen each other since that Game 6 in the bubble in Edmonton. And here's another thing that's going to be kind of weird. You're so used to the last 5 months seeing the same exact teams over and over and over. It's going to be kind of interesting. Wow, we get to see some other faces. Like, you saw the Bruins 15 times, the Penguins 15 times, the other teams 8 times. Now, you have a new opponent, but it's an opponent that you know very well from last September.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, Barry did some radio hits yesterday and was saying, you know, they're excited. They want to play. They wanted to play the Lightning because, you know, this is one of those instances. It's not like where, you know, they lost Game 3 against the Bruins and you got to forget about it. They haven't forgotten about what happened last fall.
No.
You can count on that. I mean, you know, we talked about it the last time, Mike, just, you know, Anders' reaction post-game after Cirelli scored that overtime goal to end the season. I mean, he was in tears at the podium. So they were devastated by that, and I'm sure that they've been thinking about it a lot over these last 2 or 3 days here.
Yeah, and I don't want to rehash it. And I was on JJ's New York, New York podcast on Thursday night, and I know I said it sounds like sour grapes, but they got jobbed in that first game. I know that it is what it is. That was a very tough situation to start that series against the Tampa Bay Lightning, where you're coming off the Philly Game 7, and 36 hours later, basically, you had to leave Toronto, pack up the bubble, go to Edmonton, start a new bubble, play a game against a team that had been there for a couple days, and then they got their doors blown off. They look like, you could tell, it just looked like a different team. And then B-Comp, after that first game where they got smoked, and Eric Hornick reminded everybody of this on Twitter last night. The Islanders trailed for a combined total of 8 seconds in games 2, 3, 5, and 6 against Tampa in that series, but they only won 2 of the 4 games. So for four of those games, they only trailed for 8 seconds. That they could, listen, this doesn't even have to be said. They could play with this team.
No doubt.
You saw they could play with them last September. And now, B-Comp, we're going to factor in a couple of new things. No more bubble. So we have the Nassau Coliseum now in the mix for this series. And I know the Tampa fan is going to say, well, you know, they have Amelie. And I saw this morning they're going to let 14,000 into Amelie Arena. B-Comp, no disrespect to the Tampa Bay Lightning fan.
It's a great bar
down there. It's a great arena. They have a
love the pipe organ.
They have a very good fan base. I'm not telling, this is not the Florida Panthers here. They have a legitimate hockey fan base in Tampa Bay. But I am going to say this, B-Com. That place is not going to sound like the Nassau Coliseum. I don't care what they want to sell you. And here's another thing that in that town now. They've been doing a lot of winning. Okay?
Right.
Champa Bay, as a couple of them like to run around and say now. And you know what happens when you start to do a lot of winning, B-Com? I know that you people don't think it, but it's true. And I'm not talking about the players right now. I'm talking about the fans. When a fan base starts to win a lot, they kind of let their guard down a little bit. You saw it in Atlanta for all those years with the Braves. Like, when you win a lot, in the last year, B-Comp, I mean, the Lightning have won. The Bucks have won. The Rays made the World Series. Like, they have a lot of winning there, where eventually it's going to be like, listen, I don't need to maybe go or do that. I've done so much winning. You know what happens in some of these smaller markets, and Tampa's one of them.
Tom Brady's good in the Super Bowl when Eli's nowhere to be found, isn't he?
Yes.
Just throwing that out there.
Football anyway. Podcast. There you go.
Look, they've played a ton of hockey over the past year. The only caveat here, Mike, is that their top scorer in these playoffs is a guy who didn't play a game in the regular season, yeah. Nikita Kucherov, and he's legit.
Yeah.
And Stamkos is their second leading scorer, and he missed 18 games in the regular season, and we know what he brings. So, but on the flip side, the Islanders have been going up against superstars throughout the course of these playoffs, and they've done pretty well for themselves. So this is not going to be any different as far as facing superstar power. What has to change from last year's playoffs is they need to score more goals. That was the issue. And people were screaming, oh, they got to get a sniper and they got to do this. Well, now they've lost Anders Lee. They brought in Kyle Palmieri, who is a very streaky scorer. He needs to continue that. If he doesn't, the Islanders are going to have a tough time here.
Yeah, and how about the Islanders have scored the most goals in the playoffs so far?
Yeah, I thought they were
for
boring.
For the boring Islanders to score the most goals in the playoffs, you're right about Kucherov, who, and I think that, like, I think, what is it, 85% of his points have been on the power play, BCOM? Like Kucherov.
Yeah, their power play's right
there.
He has 13 power play points.
That is, and listen, I know this sounds as cliche as possible. Like, it's like hockey for 100 years. You got to stay out of the penalty box. You can't allow power plays.
You got to stay out of the box, Mike.
This team is like on the power play.
Dude, it's like sweet Georgia Brown in the background.
They're like the Russian Red Army, BCOM. Like on the power play. They are that good. Now there's some rumblings that Hedman's a little hurt.
Everybody's hurt
this time of year.
Right.
And you brought up a point that I've been banging the drum on for months. And this is why I didn't think that Tampa was going to repeat as the Stanley Cup champions. If they do this, it's a Herculean effort. To win the Cup twice in under 12 months, BCOM, to win 8 rounds of playoffs in less than a calendar year, it would be an unbelievable feat if they could do it. Now, that was going to be my thing against them, to like either bet against them or whatever this entire playoff was. Eventually, they're going to run out of gas. Now, it's hard for me, BCOM, to use that argument with the Islanders, though, because they only played 2 more weeks than the Islanders. The Islanders also played into mid-September in the bubble. So my argument there with Tampa kind of gets thrown out the window here. They only played an extra 2 weeks than the Islanders. Both teams are there. I think the Islanders are a little bit better than they were in the bubble last September. You want to say a little bit better, BCOM, or say a lot better? Where do you want to say the Islanders are as a whole from that night that they lost the Game 6 in Edmonton, where Nelson did have a chance on his stick to force a Game 7, where they are to today, ready for a Game 1 going down to Tampa on Sunday?
That's a good question. I don't know how different they – I mean, look, Anders Lee isn't playing. That's a huge hole, but they've overcome that hole so far in these playoffs, thankfully because of the efforts of Kyle Palmieri in this postseason. But we need to see more from Barzal in this series. If he
how about Eberle too?
Mike,
Eberle needs a little bit more too. Because
that whole line, they need more from that whole line offensively. I'd like to see the back end put in a few more. I mean, Noah Dobson is their leading scorer on the blue line with 7 assists. So you kind of need more from Pollock, I think, in this series.
And most of that's power play for Dobson. I mean, a lot of that is
4 of 7.
And we didn't really talk about this, you know, with all the things that happened in the Boston series, but. Man, BCOM, whoever thought that the Islander power play, which we have screamed about for years, was going to be a major, major reason for them moving on. And look, it is what it is. I mean, the Bruins were bad on the PK, but the Islanders made it happen. And the Islander power play, suddenly a force, BCOM.
It's weird how it works, right? Like, their power play wasn't good really against the Penguins' penalty kill, which was terrible during the regular season. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it was a complete flip. The Penguin penalty kill was awful. Islander power play did nothing. The Bruin penalty kill was the second best
in
the league.
With Patrice Bergeron.
And then the Islanders scored 6 power play goals against them. So,
it's
weird how these things happen in a series, but I think the number one thing on the board is obviously you cannot give this team extra opportunities. Now, you are the New York Saints, as Bruce Cassidy said, so you have the least amount of penalties in the league. We know that. But they need to continue that, BCOM, because I do feel, as cliched as it is, it's the number one thing to this series. They cannot allow those monsters with the extra man to take care of it. Because the Islander penalty kill wasn't great against Boston, BCOM. The perfection guys did.
Yeah.
They had a billion opportunities, and Varlamov was outstanding a lot of the time.
Yeah, this is where Leo can't be taking stupid penalties or, you know, anybody on the fourth line. They have to be really, really careful here. You know, Scotty Mayfield, who's been a freaking monster these whole playoffs, he's got to stay out of the box. This is going to be awfully tough. It's going to be a challenge. I'm sure the Lightning, you know, John Cooper's a good coach. He's a smart coach.
He's one of the best.
They're going to try to goad these guys into doing stupid things. The Islanders have to be disciplined. I'm sure they will.
Anything different from the Tampa side of things from the last time we saw them? I mean, they've got pretty much the same squad here back together now. There was no Stamkos, as we know, when they faced the Islanders in the East Finals last year. He made that one appearance in the final for scoring the goal, and then he went back to the press box, and he was there to lift the cup. But basically, there's not much change. You are facing the same exact team that you played for six games in September.
Yeah, I would just say to keep an eye on Sergachev, who hasn't put up really anything offensively, Mike, but he is so good on the back end, blocks a ton of shots. So they've got to keep their eyes on him and try to create against them. It's going to be tough, but he's elevated his game here this year, I think.
Would you say this, that there's now four teams remaining? Tremendous job by Vegas, by the way.
Yeah,
eliminating the Colorado Avalanche. And sometimes, listen, we make a lot of predictions, B-Comp, me and you, whether you make them on NHL.com or I make them on Sports Grid, and we do some here on ILC Podcast. When you get one right that you've been hammering for 5 months, like you want to take a little bit of a victory lap. So I'm going to do that right now. Because I know that you were one, and I'm not getting on you for this, because you were in the majority of people that thought the Colorado Avalanche were going to take that next step this year.
Yep.
And I wasn't there yet. And sure enough, they did not get it done in a big spot. Vegas moves on. They beat them 4-2. And now, B-Comp, next year, I'll look more to the Avalanche because they needed a loss like this. I thought it was too early to anoint them as the team that was going to run away and hide here. Now, last year they lost, but they lost in a fluky way. They were on their fifth goaltender. They had a billion injuries, and they didn't have that heartbreaking loss. This year, this will be the heartbreaking loss. They win the first six games of the playoffs. They absolutely destroy everybody, and then they lose four in a row to go home. This is something they'll think about all year, and next year is when I'll back Colorado, B-Comp.
Yeah, Makar is young, and Gerard is young.
Grubauer's not that good.
Grubauer had a really rotten last couple of games.
He stinks.
But McKinnon, Landeskog, Rantanen, these guys have been around for a little bit, Mike. I mean, McKinnon was drafted in, 13?
Well, 3 second-round exits in a row now.
Yeah.
3 second-round exits in a row.
The whole idea that they're still in that you have to lose before you win phase, I don't know. I don't know if they need to make a massive change behind the bench or whatever, but those guys have been around long enough now where they need to figure this out pretty quick.
The way Vegas lost to Dallas last year, too, I just felt they had so much juice. No doubt. I think this Vegas team is so good, and a nice job by them. So there's four teams left, B-Comp. You can make a case the Islanders are playing the best out of the four of them right now. Just looking at the last two rounds of playoffs have gone, who has played the best hockey of the four teams remaining? I think it's the Islanders.
I think they're the most relentless of the four. The way that they played against the Bruins and, you know, coming back from 2-1 in both of these rounds. They're certainly not the most talented, but
they'll never be that.
But I think they're the most cohesive.
Unless they play Montreal in the final, they'll never be the most talented.
You're right. But I mean, we've heard Lou and Barry talk about, you know, going through this as a team. You want to go by yourself, you're not gonna accomplish anything. So. They've lived by that mantra since those two got here. I think they're certainly the most cohesive group of all of the 14.
All right, B-Comp. So here we go. It is time. Prediction time. One more before we get to prediction time.
Yeah.
I know that they won't say it is. I know that Barry won't say that it is. I know the players won't say that it is. But secretly, behind the doors, there's going to be a heavy revenge factor here that they're going to talk about in their own room. We lost to these guys. We know we can beat them. I think they won't do it publicly in the media, but I think that there will be a lot of juice with these guys in the room that they lost these guys in the situation that they did last year.
No doubt. I mean, I brought it up earlier. Anders Lee was in tears at the podium when they got eliminated by these guys. It devastated them. Yeah. They really, really wanted to get the job done. You know, it had to be tough on all these players to be away from home for as long as they were, but you saw the videos with, you know, Pageau and the ping pong stuff. Yeah. They had a blast in that bubble and they really came together.
It's a playoff built team, B-Comp. They are really built to the playoffs. And I know that, you know, this is why, guys, sometimes you can't go, well, they were the fourth, they came in fourth. Like, Some teams
was absurd.
Well, I know that, but even right. But look, no team that finished first made it here to the Final Four.
Right.
All four right. number ones, quote unquote, didn't make it. And you know what, BCom? Some teams are built regular season. Some teams are built for the playoffs. This yep. team is built for the playoffs. Yes, it frustrates the hell out of all of us. They could go long stretches in the over a normal 82 game season, this year of 56, where they're not scoring goals. They look very sloppy, but this is a team that when the money is on the table, they know how to perform in playoff-type situations, and that's just, it's amazing what's gone on here with this squad. So now, B-Comp, it is the official ILC podcast prediction time. You have been on fire here the last couple of years. There's no question about it. Are you taking the New York Islanders to go to the Stanley Cup Final and get a little revenge on the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Yes.
Whoa!
Mike, there's just something about
Whoa!
This. I wish we could be in the room so I could have a better gauge of just what, oh. you know, the feeling in there. I have a pretty good idea
you're,
just because I've known
buddy,
so many.
You're buttering
so
my
long.
Bread right now, pal. Let me just tell you something. This is exactly where I'm going to. Go ahead.
But I just think, you know, everything that happened in that last round against the Bruins with the posts and the wide open nets that Pasternak didn't score on, and just the way that Adam Pellick has elevated his game again. All these guys, there's just something, you just have that feeling that something special is going on around here, and I think they're going to win in six.
I am with you 100%. This Bruins series, B-Comp, something clicked with me. And you know, I'm usually, I'm not going to say pessimistic. I think that a while ago, myself, and I think a lot of Islander fans finally got out of their system the same old Islander thing with all the winning that this team has done over the last couple of years. There yeah. is something special going on with this team in this yeah. postseason. There are stars aligning, and it's not just Magic Carpet, right? This is a really damn good hockey team who's right. playing their best right now, and they're playing better than every other team that is still in the mix. There's intangibles. There's the last year of the barn. There's Lee going out, putting skates on in the morning, skate, and you know, chipping in pucks in front of the net, even though we know he's not going to play. There's right. Lamarillo getting one more for Lou. Barry validating another one. Like, there's just so many things, B-Comp, that are all coming together that there's like a little bit of a perfect storm here, and the Islanders are going to win this series. They are going to beat this team. I firmly believe it.
This is not a fluke, what they're doing.
No.
This is a really, really, really good hockey team, and people need to take notes.
When you do it once, maybe it's a fluke. We've seen plenty of teams in the history of this league have magical runs and go to the conference finals or go to the Stanley Cup finals, like a Florida in 95 or the, you know, that year the Hurricanes got whacked by the Red Wings, you know, in the early two. Like, we've seen that stuff, B-Com. When you do it again and you get yourself back to that spot that you lost the year before and you go through that entire grind and you make it back to that spot in the mountain and you can look the same team in the face and go, we got another crack at you. I'm not taking anything away from the Tampa Bay Lightning. Those guys, there's heart in that room, B-Comp. They're champions. They've done all that. But the Islander team, man for man, is going to have more juice when they step on the ice with this team. I know that team's trying to repeat, but they've won it, B-Comp. And let me tell you, this team hasn't. And they're going to look at that team and say, we climbed ourselves back here, and this time we're taking them down.
Yep, and I'm sure, look, I'm not telling Barry what to say before game one, but
well,
I would
he can
like
play the speech that I just gave you.
No. Well, listen, I would tell him, I would tell them, don't forget that feeling when you guys were taking your gear off in Edmonton after Cirelli scored and watching Cooper pump his fist, etc.
Yeah.
Don't forget how miserable that feeling was, and let's go get him. That I'm sure that will be part of the speech anyway.
Listen, this is it right here. I mean, you talk about, you know, this team can win it all. I mean, there it is.
It has that feeling.
There it is.
Like,
you want to hear? You want to play back the tape? You want to blame me if it doesn't happen? I don't care. This team's winning. I never do this. I never go this crazy. I honestly feel this team's got it. There's something going on here. They're taking
it down.
There's
definitely something
going on. And that's going to start B-Comp right here in this series against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tremendous job. And, hey, I mentioned this last show. We'll close on this. And a lot of people, I want to thank all you guys. I got a couple of DMs. I got some texts. I got some tweets about what I said at the end of the last episode about the Coliseum and how what's gone on the last 3 years, B-Comp, and how the younger fan didn't have maybe the memories and the moments that the older fan had in that place. And, man, you talk about building the bank of some memories, what's gone on here. Now, I have to ask you this, because you've been in the building for all these games, and JJ asked me this last night, and I wasn't there Wednesday night, so I couldn't be able to really answer it good. I was there Saturday for Game 4, tremendous electric atmosphere. For me, in this little rebirth of the Coliseum, since they reopened in that night against Columbus in December of 18, I mean, for me, it's still, because I haven't been at these two Game 6s, for me, it's still Tavares night. In terms of the off-the-wall loudness, craziness in the building, that's still one for me. Now, that could change in the next 3 or 4 weeks, obviously. Yeah. And as you get deeper into the playoffs, it's going to get more and more crazier. Did you think Game 6 against Boston the other night, the best moment in the little Coliseum rebirth over the last 3 years, or do you still think that night with Johnny? And I'm not talking about significance of the game. We know damn well Wednesday night was the bigger game, the bigger win for the Islanders. I'm just talking about the noise in the building.
I don't know if it was loud.
It's a different kind of loud.
Certainly was that. I think it was more.
It's a different kind of loud. Like, that's why it's hard to compare these situations. That night with Johnny, I mean, it was booing, it was venom, it was different.
And it was a lot of four letter words that night when Johnny came back. I think Game 6 was more of a, and you hit the nail on the head about it, Mike. It was an opportunity for fans who are 30 and younger, or maybe even 35 and younger.
Yeah, I said 40 and under. I said the 40 and under, because I mean, I'm 40 and I didn't get to see the glory years. I mean, the only thing I ever remembered was 93, and I wasn't even in the building for that. I mean, and I was in the building for, you know, the Maple Leaf series, and obviously when they closed it in 15, but these last 3 years, B-Comp, have been the most significant games and significant moments that the 40 and under Islander fan like myself has ever been in that place for. It just is.
No, look, I mean, we all know this is it for this building, and I think it's great for that generation of fans.
Gonna be nice to go to the bathroom.
I was at Belmont the other day. It's coming along fantastically. But I think it's crucial, and it's great for that generation of fans to experience this, because this is what it was like. I mean, I said it a million times. My first game was Kenny Morrow's overtime goal in 84, and my dad said I spent most of the night with my hands on my ears because it was just so loud in there. it's the last of the great, I guess Calgary is kind of in that mix, but it's the last of the great buildings in the NHL as far as old-time hockey is concerned. Yeah. So it's great for these people to experience this. It really, really is.
Yeah, it has. And listen, it's got a few more moments, so get yourself ready.
No doubt.
Three more games and hopefully even a couple more after that when the Vegas Golden Knights come east in a few weeks. So we'll see.
And Game 6 is on a Wednesday, and that's been going pretty well.
I mean, how about that? That both of the Game 6s were Wednesday nights, and this one is as well. Oh,
yeah,
this just adds more to the whole. It's all coming together, B-Comp.
Yeah.
It's just all tying together what's been happening on this run. B-Comp, tremendous job as always. Vegas in 4 or 5 against Montreal?
Five.
We're going to give him a gentleman sweep. We'll give him one game.
Yeah, kudos to the Canadians on this run. They've played really well.
They have, but they also haven't played anybody, an actual NHL team. So well, let's be fair.
Toronto's an NHL team.
Well, and you know what? And DeBoer, how about? And listen, I'm not the biggest Peter DeBoer fan, B-Comp.
Yeah.
But I loved him last night. I mean, when he doles out lines like, you know, basically everybody handed that team the cup. I mean, DeBoer was on fire last night. There was some weird, that McKinnon stuff was crazy too.
Yeah.
I mean, geez.
I'm not going there.
I know you're not going there, but even McKinnon, like, you know, I've never won jack in this league. I thought that was outstanding. There were some great post games last night. But I think Vegas in 5, B-Comp. I'm with you. Gentlemen sweep for the Knights, and the Knights will face the winner of the Islanders and the Lightning, which we both say will be the New York Islanders. B-Comp, tremendous job, as always, my man. I appreciate
Likewise, my friend. Thanks for having me.
And I think that, at least according to the two of us, we're going to do this one more time.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
One more time, right? I mean, geez, can you imagine, B-Comp, a Isle Seat Podcast Stanley Cup Final Preview? Maybe. We'll see.
God.
We'll see if it happens in a couple weeks.
We've come a long way since Brandon Davidson, my friend.
Oh, my God. It really has. And even, like, I was texting you yesterday, and I even tweeted one of these up. Like, one of the guys, I think it was Big Walt on Twitter, was like, I'm listening back to some of these shows when Lou and Barry got hired. And so, of course, I'm sitting on the train. I'm going to work. I said, you know what? Let me throw a couple of these shows in. B-Comp, I mean, I couldn't believe, like, and there was a few things that I would never retweet because I got just way, you know, I was way off. But this is what I was talking about earlier. You hit on some things and you miss on some things. But when B-Comp laid out the line, if the Islanders bring Lou and Barry here and Johnny leaves, he's going to look like the bad guy, that's for sure. And what happened? Oh, he looked like the bad guy, all right. Oh.
Yeah.
But and me sitting there going, I don't care if they got to give Barry Trotz $9 million a year.
Exactly.
You just hire him as the head coach.
It's worked out.
What a scene, B-Comp. It really is.
Yep.
So I'll talk to you in a couple weeks then for hopefully
Sounds good, the next round
preview. Tremendous job by you. Brian Compton, NHL.com, Islanders and the Lightning. We both, like the Islanders, in six to take down Tampa. How about that? My thanks, as always, to the good people at Action Park Media, and congrats to Kevin Connolly on the birth of his daughter. So there you go. Congrats to Kevin and his family there. Nice job. All the people at Action Park taking care of business. Devin, Yes Men Outfitters, get all the gear right there. The playoff gear is going to keep coming. YesMenOutfitters.com. I will talk to you guys throughout the series. Sunday's an afternoon game. I'm going to try to do something after the game. Listen, I know it's hard. I'm going to try. If I am able to do it, I'll let everybody know where I'm going to be doing it. So everybody enjoy the game. Islanders, Lightning, Game 1, Sunday, 3 o'clock on the Big Peacock. I'll talk to you guys later. I'll see podcast. See you then.